Hi, everybody. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I love you guys so much. I pray that this message is very helpful to you. I believe that what God is doing is encoding us with His Word and with His wisdom so that we can tap into what we're all supposed to be doing in this hour, and that is becoming the new creation. It's got to happen now for us people, and you know, God is helping us for sure. And I know that pretty much what I'm teaching, even in the relationship seminar and so on, it is meant to prepare us for the return of the Lord. It is meant for us to bear beautiful vintage fruit at the end of our lives. Some of us are coming close to that. But it comes out of the new creation. Amen. So praise God. I hope this blesses you in Jesus' mighty name. Okay. God, our only hope of glory. The longer I live, the more I walk with God, the more I realize that any good, any beauty, any wisdom, anything fruitful in my life is coming from the Lord. Our glory is going to be found in Him. Amen. There's not one of us that's going to be able to stand. Now, we were good stewards of the glory of God. We were good stewards of the anointing. We were good stewards of the Word. We learned to hear the Word and be doers of the Word. That is definitely us putting in the effort. But at the end of the day, it's God that's giving us all of it. Amen. All of it, our capability, our wisdom, our desire to grow and keep evolving, all of that is coming from God. So this scripture right here in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, thank you, Yoli. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are little fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And you can see the glory of God in this little vessel that's broken. By the time we're like maybe in our teens, we're already looking like this because of life and things that happened to us. You know, some of them were very horrible things, you know, that really caused some serious damage, like this little clay pot. You know, we come to the Lord and we're fragmented. We're in pieces. And He just keeps pouring in the glory, pouring in the glory. Amen. Thank God it doesn't depend on the earthen little vessel. Amen. Praise God. Blessed is she. Isn't this a beautiful picture, guys? I kept thinking of how we're going to look as the bride of Christ. Not physically, guys, but I do think that when we get our resurrected bodies, we're going to look stunning. We're going to look amazing. We're not going to have all the stuff that makes us decay and age and all of that. Amen. We're going to be beautiful spirits, eternal spirits forever. I don't know about you, but that alone makes me want to go to heaven because I know how hard it is to keep this little body of flesh together, looking halfway decent. Amen. So I know. And then the sickness and disease and the weakness and the feebleness, all of that's going to be gone. And I think we're going to look something like this. Amen. As the bride of Christ, you know, men included, of course, you will get your resurrected body and we will all be these incredible beings, guys. If you only knew what's ahead of us, you would never, ever, ever jeopardize your eternity because that alone is worth it. Amen. Glory to God. So this says from Luke 1:45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. God has made many promises to us people in general, promises that apply to all of us, but He's also made individual promises to us. You know, there's things that God has told me that are very precious, that are personal promises. But let's look at three scriptures that we can count on as promises from the Word of God. Amen. 2 Samuel 22:33. God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. And when He makes our way perfect, it means it's entire. You're not going to be lacking anything when you start walking in the way of the Lord that He's putting before you. With integrity. You know, our lives are going to have integrity about them, not only us as people, but also the way we live, the way our life is evolving. Amen. It is with integrity, with truth. God's going to make sure that our way is going to be paved with truth, with integrity. It's going to be entire. It's going to be complete and whole. We're not going to lack anything if we continue to trust in God. I promise you, ladies, in some ways, this is the truth, and I say it very humbly. In some ways, I feel like I'm going backwards right now in time, in energy. I'm starting to recoup a lot of things that the pandemic took away from me personally. I mean, I went into a weird place, and I was shocked. But you know, those moments, people, when you see yourself fail and struggle, understand that those are opportunities to see what you need to work in. You don't have to be self-recriminating. You don't have to feel bad. You just need to say, oh my gosh, I need to work on that. I kept asking myself, why did I go there during the pandemic? What is it that happened to me that caused me to go there? You know, so we learn, we grow. Amen. Glory to God. Psalms 138:8, the Lord will perfect, which means will bring to completion that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Isn't this a beautiful promise, people, that he's going to perfect? He's going to bring to completion that which concerns us individually in our lives and also as the body of Christ. You're not done yet. God's not quitting on you. He's still working on you. And you need to be comfortable with that. That, Lord God, thank you, Jesus, that what I see is so far beyond, so far below where I belong. But he is going to complete it. He's going to bring it to fruition in your life. Hang on to these promises, people. John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Life here, as we've taught many times, is Zoe. Life on the level that God himself lives, that God himself has. He literally has taken a chunk of his life and given it to you. And when you look at the word abundantly, it means superfluous. It means abundant in quantity and quality. Amen. So God's not stingy with his life. You can rock this lifetime. You can rock your time on the earth. You can go as far as you can and try to see all the good, all the life that God can give you. Never settle for an inferior life. You know, you are in many ways in the driver's seat because you're determining your outcome by your choices. Never settle for an inferior life, for a life that makes you sad, for a life where you're lacking all the time, a life where there is no love in your home, in your relationships. Don't settle for that. You don't complain about it. You ask God to move in. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the God of love. God is love. Amen. Start bringing him in with all the forces of his Zoe life into your home. I did that. You will never know how far Bill and I have come. Our children, our family, in our home. We have come such a long way. There was a time when we were very fragmented. You know, we concentrated on the work of God. We concentrated on a lot of things. And in many ways, our family did suffer. But I was never going to settle for that. And I did pray all the time, Lord, this has to change. This is not a good testimony. This is not what you want for us. And I know it, Father. So start speaking to the Father that way. Amen. And hang on to the promises that he gives you. Those are the things, guys. Those promises are literally these like bombs that blow up in your life that start for, you know, they start coming to pass in your life in whatever that promise is. Amen. And so I feel really good right now in my life, in my body, in my ministry. There's a couple of things, you know, that I am dealing with physically, and I keep believing God. But let me tell you, we have overcome so much, Pastor and I and our children, as far as sickness and disease and all of that stuff. Amen. So hang on to the promises of God. Really, truly, you guys, if you want to know the truth, guys, the way we change our current circumstance is through the promises. That is how you do it. You don't sit there and cry and say, God, this has to change. No, you get a promise and you say, Lord, this is for me. I'm hanging on to it. This is going to come to pass for me. Remember when I taught head versus heart faith? Heart faith doesn't just hear a good scripture, doesn't hear good news. It grabs onto it. It cleaves to it and it says, this is mine. I will never let this go. Amen? Praise God. I choose to live by choice. Please let this be you. Don't be a victim of life and circumstances. Be in control by choosing your way out of things that don't belong to you. Amen? I choose to live by choice, not by chance. To be motivated, not manipulated. To be useful, not used. To make changes, not excuses. To excel, not compete. This is a good one. You know, we as human beings, all of us, but especially guys, but as women, we can be competitive. You know, it's like, oh, they got that car. I want that car. Oh, they got that house. I want that house. Oh, they got that husband. No, you don't want to go there. But we tend to want to compete with people around us. No, you excel. You pace your own race. You do your own thing. Amen. Don't look at others. You know, there are people that are multi-millionaires that I know of. There are people that fly everywhere. They're like little jet setters. And these are Christians. And you know, I just look at them and I say, you know what? That's their life. I'm not going to compete with that. I don't need that. I need to be where God's called me to be. And guys, I'll be honest with you. Truly, this is you and me talking now. If somebody offered me, let's say, $5 million, and they said, you can live off of this for the rest of your life, or, you know, and you can use it however you want, travel, buy yourself more clothes, you know, go to the gym and get really in shape, whatever it is that people dream of, maybe get a sailboat, maybe go here, maybe go there, and so on, get an apartment in Paris, specifically Paris, that kind of stuff. But if somebody told me you can have these $5 million or you can have a life where God's in your home, where, you know, you're in peace, you have love, you are like, okay, you have well-being, you have shalom. I would choose that side that belongs to God and his blessings than the $5 million if I had to choose. You know, now the good thing about God is that we live well. God has blessed us. Thank God my husband is still able to work. But, you know, in other words, even when you choose God, he's going to take care of you. Amen. You may not have the $5 million. I don't know. You might, but you may not. It may not happen that way. But to me, it's more important just to excel in my own life and not compete with others. I choose self-esteem, not self-pity. Self-esteem. I value myself. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself because the things that are happening in my life that are not making me happy right now or that are wrong in my life, I'm not going to have pity about that. I'm going to have self-esteem and say, you know what? Let's go for God. Let's go for the big thing. Amen. Because let me tell you, there was a time when I didn't have any self-esteem. I felt like the biggest loser, like a rag, like just really, really uncomfortable in this lifetime. And, you know, through God, I developed not necessarily a self-esteem as in, oh, I'm so special, you know, and I'm so valuable. Not like that. It was more like he would tell me, you are valuable to me, Eva. Do you understand how valuable you are to me, Eva, that I died for you? I rescued you. I came after you. And you begin to develop a very beautiful self-esteem, which maybe you want to call value, amen, that you have. And I see that about me. I know who I am. I am a woman of honor. I am a woman of dignity. And nobody can rob that from me. It's God-given. Amen? Even if people don't agree with you and they don't see it, it doesn't matter. So anyway, self-esteem versus self-pity. I choose to listen to my inner voice, not the random opinion of others. I cannot tell you how wonderful it was the day that I finally got off the merry-go-round of caring what people thought. It's a wonderful day. It is the most liberating thing you could ever experience, to understand that I don't have to be judged and criticized or even elevated by others. What matters is what God thinks about you, and what God thinks about each and every one of us is glorious and beautiful. It is perfect. Amen. And then the last one is, I choose. Now, this one is a little bit, I was wondering about this one. I choose to be me. Don't ever stick up for the old version of you. Amen. I never say, I'm going to stick up for myself. I'm going to stick up for me. You know, I choose to be me. No, because that me was programmed by the world. Amen. So I choose to be me in Christ, whatever Christ says I am. Amen. We can hear somebody. I think Maggie. I'll get it. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Glory to God. Let's keep going. Truths for our new foundation. I will continue to lay this foundation. We're going to go through it quickly. Number one, God wants you free. Why? So you can choose. You have to be free. A slave can't choose. So let's get out from underneath the devil. Let's get out from underneath the past. Let's get out from underneath people. And let's just be free so we can choose. Amen. Number two, you became his child when you chose Christ and the new birth. But it is up to you to ratify, to endorse that reality. God's not going to do it for you. You can't say, God, I came to you and I got born again. What happened? Look at me. Look at how I look. I showed up the way I did. My life was all messed up. No, it's up to us people. I'm doing it. You can do it. I am probably, you should be very happy and content that I'm a teacher to you, placed here by God, because I started with nothing. I started with less than zero in this world, in this marriage, in this, in ministry, all of it. Amen. But I took this to heart and I said, you know what? I'm going to start believing God and what he says about me. Otherwise, I'm doomed to believe what others think about me. Amen. I've been called many things by many people that were not good. And I had to shake those things off and start being me. So if you are his child, you are now to identify and live completely as his daughter. You are his daughter. I am God's daughter. No one will ever take that away from me. Not ever. Not ever. I absolutely shine with God's presence on me because I'm his daughter. I want to reflect my father. My father is a king, and you are the daughter of a king. And we literally, in one of the words that when you look it up, it says royalty. It says stunning, awestruck. That's what we've become as daughters of God. Amen. So if you are his child, you are now to identify and live. Identify and live completely as his daughter. Push yourself, push life to start reflecting the fact that you are a daughter of the king. Number three, your parents were given to you by God to be your temporary caretakers. But God alone is everyone's true and genuine father. So don't think you're dishonoring your parents by thinking, well, maybe God is just my father, my parent. No, don't think anything like that, because your parents should have embraced God as their father. Amen. Nothing can live unless God brings it to life, people. So understand that God is your father. I love my father. I can't wait to see him. I walk around during my day and I just say, Father, I love you. I love you, Father. If the rapture happened right now, Father, I would leave everything behind, everything to be with you. And I mean that. I'm his daughter. Amen. Number three, your parents were given to, oh, sorry about that. Number four, until we die to the old man, we cannot ever become the new creation. This is very important. You can't, until you die, you can't become. You have to die to who you were. Amen. In our misery, in our confusion, in our darkness, in our weakness, in our insecurities, we have to die to all that to become the new creation. Amen. And the new creation is glorious. It's beautiful. It's strong. It's dignified. It's honorable. It's valuable. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, man, but this teaching's making me happy all over again. So, truths for our new foundation. Number 5, He has provided us with every spiritual blessing. There's not one thing that you are lacking, people. You're not lacking peace. You're not lacking joy. You're not lacking hope. You're not lacking the force of healing. You're not lacking prosperity according to what God has destined for you, which is always a good thing, people. So He's provided us with every spiritual blessing, spiritual force that comes from His very character. These forces that are coming at us are coming from God's character to you, and you have full access to them. It's love, joy, peace, hope, kindness, strength, faith, graciousness, courage, and the list goes on forever. Whatever defines God's character, amen. These forces are flowing out of Him. They are spiritual forces. So these spiritual blessings operate unhindered in the new creation. The old man is not able to walk in these forces in a natural and constant way. I'm serious, guys. Before I started developing the new creation, I cannot tell you how many times, I was mortified at who I was because the old man cannot walk in spiritual forces. In the natural, in the old man, these forces are kept up only temporarily. Love, joy, peace. We say, I would tell myself, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be a person that's going to love. I'm going to be a person that's peaceful. I would say all these things and I would go for a little while, but it would die off on me. It would trail off on me. And so, you know, that's the old man. It'll only keep it up for a little bit. How many of you have tried to love? I mean, really love people. And we go for a while, and then we fall off. That's because, well, let me finish this thought and then it'll explain it to you. The old man is not able to walk in these forces in a natural and constant way. In the natural, in the old man, these forces are kept up only temporarily, but soon we're right back to square one. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So these forces are critical, guys. You know, can we really call ourselves a believer if we don't have faith? How can a believer not have faith? And that's one of the spiritual forces, you know. And how can we be in peace? You know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He's living in us. And so these forces should be coming, but the old man interferes with it. Man, you say to yourself, I'm going to walk in love. And your husband comes in a bad mood, or he tells you something that's kind of rough or whatever. What happens? The first thing is the old man steps in. Here you were, a woman that's trying to make progress and walk in love, and the old man steps in and you retaliate. You react instead of respond. And so you come at him back and, you know, you guys get in an argument or whatever, and you start with you always do that. You always say that. And then that's totally the old man that says that. The new creation gives everybody a chance because we were given a chance. Amen. You give people a chance to grow and change and become as well. Next point. The more these spiritual forces, blessings are in our lives, the more we are setting the atmosphere for the Zoe life of God to be released into our lives. God cannot move in chaos or hatred. I hate to tell you that. I'm going to repeat that. God cannot move in chaos or hatred. The more we walk in these spiritual blessings, the more we set the atmosphere for God to move. If you embrace love and you embrace the new creation that is a love being, then God will be able to move. And the more we walk in more forces like faith and hope and joy and peace and, of course, love, then the more we're setting an atmosphere for God to move in our lives. We're expecting God to move in our lives, and we're bitter, we're fighting, we're unforgiving, we keep record of wrongs on people, we're scared, we're you know, selfish, we're narcissistic, all of these things. How is God going to move in that atmosphere? So it is behooves us to start walking these spiritual forces. Amen? Praise God. But in becoming the new creation, these forces are who we truly are now. That's the thing about becoming the new creation, is that these things are who we are. Amen? They are who we are. I just told you a little while ago that I know I have dignity and honor. Without a shadow of any doubt, I know these forces are alive in me now. They weren't always. I was pathetic the way I thought about myself, and a lot of self-hatred. And of course, people helped a lot, you know, fanning that self-hatred in me by the things they would say, you know. But once you embrace the new creation, once you start walking in the newness of life you've been given, then these forces start falling, flowing out of you naturally. They're the natural, organic expression of what we've become. Our thoughts, our speech, our behavior, these all are flowing out of our new identification and out of the true nature of a daughter of the King. You know, the next time you want to yell like a little maniac, which we all can have the tendency to do, stop yourself and say, is this what a daughter of the King would do? And let's start, you know, around here, we used to joke about it, but it's so sad, but true, that when you felt an earthquake, it was Pastor Bill and Eva fighting. We were great at strife and arguing and all of that. We were like two titans coming against each other constantly. You know, and now, because we've so sought to change and to walk in the new creation, I'm telling you, we live in peace. Even when we disagree, it goes away. It's removed supernaturally. There are no hurt feelings. There are no more walls. There's no more screaming, no more yelling, no more acting out, no more silent treatments, because of the new identification that we've embraced and we walk in. Amen. How are you going to meet God if you never bother to transition, to transform? Amen. So these all are flowing out of the new identification and out of the nature of a daughter of the King. It is precisely and uniquely through these spiritual blessings that we become the bride of Christ. So here it is. You're the old man. You decide, okay, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to embrace the new creation in me. Amen? And then you embrace the new identification as a daughter of the King. And now these spiritual blessings are flowing out of you. They're coming out of your pores. You're glowing with the light of God. You're becoming an incandescent spirit everywhere you go. People notice this person's different. You know, we do release. They're calling them frequencies, whatever. It's an anointing. Wherever you know, when you go out and you confront people, you know, I do my best to shine for God. I do my best to be kind and polite. And these things begin to transform you, these forces, for sure. And our next step, after we are working on the new creation, after we're embracing all these spiritual forces, then our next step is to become the bride of Christ. Our job is to be the bride of Christ, to be ready for his return, amen, without spot or blemish, without any wrinkle. We are supposed to be getting rid of those things, people, things that are very unbecoming, amen. And we are supposed to start embracing the light, the power of God, the dignity of God, the honor of God. We are not supposed to be weak. We are supposed to be very, you know, in Proverbs 31, when it talks about the virtuous woman, they're talking about a woman that's valiant, that's war-worthy. she gets down when it comes to warring against the enemy or situations in this world, amen? And that's what we're supposed to be now. But our ultimate goal right now is to become the new creation so that we can be ready as the bride of Christ. There's no way that a person that is staying the old man can say, I am ready, I am the bride of Christ. There's no way, people. That's not how it works. The Lord says that he leads us from glory to glory, amen? Here a little, there a little. He's moving us forward. A while back, I think when we first moved to the building in Armstrong, God told us, I am no longer going to follow you as a shepherd. I am not going to lead you as your God. Because before, he was maintaining the body of Christ as the good shepherd, keeping us together. Now, he has taken his place as God, and he is leading us somewhere, people. We have to follow him now. And where he's going to lead you is glorious and good. You can trust him on that, amen? So the bride is described as, this is true, I got this from the word, people. Stunning. And it doesn't mean we have to go get facelifts. It doesn't mean that we have to change everything about ourselves, you know, go and dye our hair the perfect color or whatever. It doesn't mean that. It means your person. When someone looks at you, they say, wow, you're stunning. And not that you're not going for that. What I'm trying to say is that they see something stunning about you and they don't even know what it is. Amen. Stunning. Noble. Noble, royal, amen. This is a royal person, someone that's noble. They're pure of heart. And then gracious, gracious. Oh my God, women, becoming gracious is like the key of the universe. Being gracious incurs so much favor from people around us because we're being gracious and kind. It's a beautiful thing. People almost want to do things for you. They want to help you. They want to be kind to you back. It's a wonderful thing. I'm experiencing this, people, and it's beautiful. I'm telling you, it's true. But that's because I really want to get to heaven and God say, man, you gave it a good effort. I probably will never get to the perfectness of this whole transition and transformation, but he's going to say, man, you got kind of close there, girl. Because I want to please my Father, amen? So, she's gracious, gentle. We don't need to be hard. I thought that being strong was being tough. It almost got me divorced 3 times. That's not the truth at all. You can be gentle and be a tower of strength. And this is the most, it's like a dichotomy. It's like a contradiction. It's like a paradox. It's like, you mean that if I'm gentle, I can still be strong? I can still be, you know, war worthy and even physically strong? Yes, you can. We don't have to be tough to get our way. Amen? We can be gentle. That's a real important one. We can be amazing. Imagine that. The bride of Christ is amazing, powerful, beautiful, magnificent. Man, how would you like to be magnificent? Isn't that amazing? We all want to be beautiful, you know, and that's God-given. Everything he creates is beautiful. It's not a bad thing. Just don't live for it. And if you are not quite there yet, don't judge yourself and hate yourself. Amen? Just keep going. But fearless. The bride of Christ is fearless. Let's become fearless. What are you fearing? People, understand me, please. If the word of God tells us, I believe it's in Corinthians. I'm not quite sure. I should have looked it up. But it says that it's in Hebrews, I believe. Man, through the fear of death, was subject to bondage all his life. Yeah, it's in Hebrews. Yes, it's in Hebrews. Mr. Bible Man. And you have to understand something, that as long as you are fearful, you're in bondage. When you get rid of the fear, you are free. You are liberated. Fear is a shackle. It's from the devil. Remember, I taught on that fear is literally satanic faith. So become fearless. Get rid of the fear. You can do it. Nobody was more fearful than me. Nobody on this planet. I feared everything till I was probably pushing 50, maybe even 50 and some. I used to walk around with my hands, my fists clenched by my side, but clenched. I would be sitting watching television, supposedly relaxing, and my hands would be clenched because I was afraid 24/7. You can get rid of the fear. Amen. At the end of the day, the biggest fear we have is of dying. Oh my God, count the cost. Look at death for what it is. It's just a pathway. It's a transition. If Jesus is your Lord, you're just going to the most grand promotion you could never imagine. You are being promoted. You are being excelled. You're going to get a new created spirit that will never die. What are we fearing, people? Oh, no, I got to hang on to this filthy rag of a life. You know, oh, no, I'm afraid to die. Oh, my gosh, count the cost and get rid of that fear. Amen? That no matter what happens, you're going to heaven. And then quiet-spirited. We become quiet-spirited. And we're going to read some scriptures on that, ladies, because as women, we tend to be a little high-strung. We overthink everything. We think that worrying is loving and concern. It's not. Amen? So we become quiet-spirited. Well, you're at peace. You're at peace being alone if you have to. You're at peace, you know, when circumstances come up, you don't run around with panic. You are quiet-spirited. And then authentic through and through. The bride of Christ is not fake. The bride of Christ is not a counterfeit. The bride of Christ is not a hypocrite. The bride of Christ is authentic. Let your actions be authentic. You know, I did fake it till I made it. I did act like I could love people. I did act like I was in peace. I faked it a little bit.
Were you laughing?
Oh, sorry. Pastor sneezed and I thought he was laughing. Yeah, understand that we got to become authentic, amen, through and through, where we are the real thing, no matter who's in front of us, no matter what we're going through, glory to God. Beloved, could we call a Christian who is not operating and living through these spiritual forces that God has so freely given us a hypocrite? Because a hypocrite is an actor, a fraud, a pretender. Now, God's grace covers us when we say, you know what, I'm going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to start being like I'm in love with people, like I'm peaceful. You know, I did that, but God's grace was on me. It wasn't like, let me see how far I can get away with this, you know, act like I love people when they're bugging me or when, you know, I don't love them and I don't care about them. So, you know, we've got to be careful of that. You know, if we're going to call ourselves a Christian, then sooner or later, the fruit has to be there. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. See, God knows it, people. He calls it straight up. I mean, he says, what are you going to be? The new creation or like the scribes and the Pharisees? You know, they pretended to be holy. They pretended to know me. They pretended to know my word. All of these pretense have got to go. But it's okay to push in and say, you know what? I'm going to do my best to walk in love today and act it out. Why not? Eventually, you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. And before you know it, it really is the way you are. Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 3:3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And we're in the last days, people. And perilous times, dangerous times, uncertain times are here for sure. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Be very careful of the pleasure thing, people. It is wonderful to go to a party, to a family thing. It is wonderful to go out to the movies with your family. It's wonderful to go on dates. It's wonderful. It's of God to enjoy your hard-earned money, your labor. But when you are a person that loves pleasure more than God, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen. We ought to be lovers of God above and beyond anything else. And then having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. So we want, you know, it says a form of godliness, but denying its power. We don't want to stay in the, I'm going to work through this, I'm going to fake it till I make it part. No, you don't want to stay there. You absolutely want to become the real thing and not have a form of godliness. You want to know, I'm slowly becoming godly. Amen? And it's hard, people. Sometimes you'll feel like you're bending over backwards like a steel rod. Like just, it's here and somebody's forcing it this way. I can't tell you how many times I felt that way. It's like, no, Eva, don't speak up. Don't retaliate. Don't answer. Or no, Eva, don't get hurt. Don't do it. And I would talk to myself in my own mind. And the day came where I didn't have to talk to myself. You know, every once in a while, I might miss it. But I'm really, truly now comfortable operating in godliness. Amen. Not perfect. It will take us an eternity, people, to get this right. But we got to start someday. Amen. And this is why God is now, in this hour, dividing the wheat from the tares. There's the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat and tares look completely the same. It's very difficult to determine. And tares are like a weed that grows right next to the wheat. And, you know, it can be very confusing. You're like, is that a person a wheat or a tare? Because they look very similar. You know, but God is now dividing the tares from the wheat, the real from the false, the fruit from the weeds. He's doing this now, people. And then the sheep from the goats. Are you going to follow or are you going to be a goat? Amen. You know, sheep follow and goats butt. You know how they butt you with their head? Yeah. So we have to decide now, are we going to be a sheep that follows Christ now, or are we a goat that retaliates and does their own thing? You know, goats are very rebellious little animals. You know, I ran across this TikTok. I was actually looking for something, and in flipping through, I found this TikTok where a goat attacks a farmer from behind. The guy is literally bending down, feeding, you know, the trough for their food. And the goat sees him and it runs at him and hits him so hard, guys, that the guy goes flying. He got hurt. The farmer got hurt. That's a goat. They're always bucking the system. They're always going against the current, you know, but sheep follow. Amen. Number six, your only chance to change and transform is now. 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 Say now, please. While you're still on the earth, changing and transforming needs to take place here on the earth because this time on earth is for you to prove who you've chosen to be. This is the truth, people. We're wasting time, valuable time. I mean, I blinked and I went from 24 to 73. I blinked and it happened. That's how fast life goes. It's going to go fast for you as well. And you have to understand that my time on the earth is, I'm proving what I am to God and for my eternity. Am I a jerk? Am I immature? Am I selfish? You know, or am I choosing to become this elevated spirit, this glorious being that God wants us to become even now? Amen? So this really is your life. This really is your race. Will you end up in honor or in shameful disgrace? We cannot become what we want by remaining what we are. Love change. Love transformation. You know, in some ways, I look younger than I did when I was 30. In many ways, I feel stronger than when I was 30. I am transforming. I'm encouraging you to follow what God is saying because it works. Amen. And then the last one is change is only a choice away. Choose. You remember Deuteronomy 31:19. He has set before us blessing and cursing, or life and death. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. That's Zoe life there. Amen. Number 7. Why was this message critically important? Because the life you are living right now is equally yoked to who you are right now on the inside, in your inner man. That's the truth. That can't be. I'm a wonderful person and my life sucks. My life is ugly. My life is so inferior. My life is empty. I'm sorry to tell you, but you are equally yoked to a life that matches who you are on the inside. So, and who you are right now on the inside is the very person and the only person doing the sowing in your life. If you're still as a babe in Christ, you're holding seeds that a babe in Christ would hold. And that's what you're sowing in your life. If you're immature, if you're selfish, if you're mean-spirited, if you judge everybody, that's the seeds you're sowing. Out of that person is what you're sowing. But if you become gracious and you trust God with everything and you start walking in the dignity, the graciousness of being the daughter of God, you begin to sow those kinds of seeds. Amen? So, what seeds are you sowing? The fallen man or the new creation? What sack of seeds are you holding? Because you're repeating your own sorrow. You are repeating your own cycles of life. If you have the same sack of seeds that you had before you got born again, remember grandma taught it and we bought it, or a new bag of seeds that comes from the Holy Spirit, the spiritual forces of God. Now I'm sowing real love. Now I'm sowing real faith. How do you think your life's going to turn around? Amen. Praise God. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues, the production of life. You know, your heart is critical to you. It's not the pump, not the physical pump. It's the spirit man inside of you, the heart being of who you are. And the production of life is coming out of that heart. Amen. The more we walk in God, the more we embrace the word, the more the production of life is going to happen for us people. Galatians 6:7. Oh, this is the all-time one that catches us all. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that and only that he will also reap. So do not be deceived thinking that God's not looking, because there's a law of sowing and reaping. There's a law of being equally yoked that we cannot avoid. Can we avoid the law of gravity? Try climbing on the top of your house and then jumping down and see if you can defy gravity. you're going to be a pancake on the ground. And so for us, we cannot say to God, God, I'm really good, and I'm a wonderful person, and I don't understand why this is happening to me. And God will look at you and say, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? You're in charge. You're the farmer in your own life. God will give you the seeds if you go to him, just like Satan gave us the seeds. And we sowed discord, hatred, suspicion, bitterness, unforgiveness. But God said, okay, get rid of those seeds. Here's a new sack of seeds. Some of you are like, but these are the seeds that I know. Praise God. Galatians 6, 7, in the Amplified, I want you to really see this, people, that we're not going to get away with it. I wanted a beautiful life. I wanted everything that was beautiful and perfect from God, but I was sowing all the wrong seeds. So it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. You're only going to reap what you're sowing. That's it. You're not going to reap a beautiful life not sowing anything. You're not going to reap a beautiful life if you're sowing the wrong seeds. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. This is the message. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring God and the needs of others, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life. Oh man, if I were you, I'd be taking pictures of these slides because you want to see it from different interpretations, amen? That, you know, honestly, guys, we're exactly where we belong. Because of what we've been sowing. Nuh-uh, Pastor Eva. No, I don't deserve this life. What are you sowing? What seeds do you hold in your hand, my sisters and brothers? Matthew 3:10. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We have to see these scriptures, people. God put him there for a reason. You know, you can't be this thorny bush that is just hideous, you know, with all these thorns, you know, and sit there and say, I'm a new creation, you know, I'm a daughter of the King. No. And not only that, but you're replicating what's inside of you around you, wherever you go. I know of people like that. They, everywhere they go, they create a stir, or they create contention, or they create an uncomfortableness. No, be aware that you've got to bear good fruit. Amen. The main point of this message, this is why he makes it abundantly clear that how our lives end up is completely in the power of each and every one of us, no matter who we are or what our beginnings were, no matter how abundant or lacking our existence was, no matter what harm or traumatic experience we went through. God has rebooted our life. He has given us a brand new life and identity. He has given himself to us. And he has completely empowered us through the Holy Spirit to get the rest of our being transformed as well. He absolutely recreated you spiritually. You're completely, completely made of God's genetic fiber now in your spirit. But it is our job to transform in our mind, which is our mind, our will, our emotions. Amen. Your soul has to be transformed by you. How do you do it? Through the word. And also your body. Your body has to be transformed. Start getting back in strength. Amen. Walk around, not to, so you can be a size 3, if there is such a size. I know there's a zero and I know there's a two, but I don't know if there's a three. As you can see, I've never gotten down there. But it's not to get all fit and beautiful. No, it might happen. Praise God if it does. But you want to get yourself strong in your body. Amen. Healed in your body. Fight to be healed. Glory to God. We're almost done here. Jesus is coming for a bride that's adorned for her husband. She's prepared herself and she's made herself ready. You know, some women, when they're going to get married, oh my God, they start preparing their bodies themselves like 2 years before. Because they want to be the most smashing bride on the planet. They want to look beautiful for her groom. Amen. So let's start getting busy, ladies, now. Amen. We don't know when he's coming. He may come in 25 years. He may come tomorrow. He may come tonight. None of us know. Amen. So that's adorned for her husband. She's prepared herself and she's made herself ready. Make yourself ready now. Amen. Start adorning yourself with spiritual forces and the new creation. In order to know what is right for our life, we must turn to the final virtue, which is wisdom. Wisdom comes when we study and learn and experience. You can't be lazy and get there, people. You got to study and learn and experience. No one ever became excellent by chance. You're not going to reach this place of being an excellent person on the earth by happenstance. Oh my God, I woke up one day and I was excellent. No. If you want to be courageous and disciplined and ethical, you have to do the work to become just that. You know, and you look at this girl climbing up that mountain, that's kind of how it feels sometimes, but you do it. You do it, amen? Four wisdoms for great living, and we'll stop here. And for great and healthy living, watch your thought life. Your brain creates more suffering through imaginations than actual reality ever could. We spend our days mentally rehearsing disasters that never happened or that ever will happen because we've yet to learn that thoughts are not necessarily the true reality. We're living on the what-ifs of life and not on fact and truth. Fact and truth are God. What he tells you, that's a fact. That's a truth, amen? You're carrying tomorrow's problems on today's shoulders. Isn't that sad? We're already tiring ourselves, exhausting ourselves, and zapping all our energy off tomorrow and carrying it today. Good grief. This is why humans are so miserable and so tired. Peace should always be the checkpoint of our thoughts, imagination, and life. Always check that you're in peace. That's become my go-to. If ever I get off of peace, I know I've gotten off of God or the Word. Our imagination can be destructive or productive, depending on who's controlling our thought life, Satan or God. Number one, stop future tripping. Our mind loves crafting terrible scenarios about what might go wrong. It's been programmed by the God of deception and destruction. But most of the things that could go wrong never really happen. Learn to deal with problems when they actually do show up. Did you hear that? Isn't that beautiful? Deal with problems when they actually do show up. Don't make a problem where there is no problem. Good grief. Number two, ditch the have-to-know-it-all syndrome. Being wrong is not failure. It's merely the path towards wisdom to those who want to get it right. Did you hear that? When you miss it, when you're wrong, it's an open door to get some wisdom. It's like, oh, that's not correct. I got to go learn what it is. And you get the wisdom. No one is born knowing everything. All of life is simply your learning curve. Did you know that? From the moment you're born, you start learning everything as much as possible. But all of life is simply your learning curve. Life is here to teach you if you let it. It will teach you. Even the bad lessons, it'll teach you, and then you can avert those things. Number three, cut the complaining. Ladies, please hear this. If there are any men on tonight, you're going to say amen, because we got to stop the complaining. Acceptance isn't giving up. When you instead of complaining about something, try accepting the situation. Acceptance isn't giving up. It's growing up. Every complaint is wasted precious energy. We're wasting energy on the things we can't control most of the time. Life is seldom going to be perfect. So instead of complaining, realize that it's on you to accept things or change them. Amen? Bill and I, we caught on to this. Thank God Bill's the one that taught me this. When we were having a hard time in our marriage and it dried up and it was horrible and I didn't want to be in it anymore and I was done with it and all that, we learned to sow our way out of those bad places. You know, it's like, I have to accept the fact here as an adult that I haven't been sowing right. So we started sowing and, you know, getting it back on track. Number four, simplify everything. Simplicity is elegance. Simplicity comes from contentment and gratitude and maturity. Stop living a complicated life. Even if you do a lot, don't be complicated about it. Be simple. Be elegant. Simplify your life as much as possible. You were not meant to carry burdens. Amen? Live life with one task at a time. I know women, we multitask, but it drives us nuts. And how effective are we when we've got like 10 things going on at the same time? So do one task at a time with real focus and with real engagement with the situation and with each person. Amen? I mean, your child comes up, instead of saying, oh man, I can't even pay attention to them right now. I got to cook dinner. I'm washing clothes. And stop for a moment. Simplify that moment. Crawl into that moment and look at your child in the eyes and tend to their needs. Amen. At least listen to them if you can't respond right away to what they need. Peace isn't about having perfect circumstances. Did you hear that? Peace isn't about having perfect circumstances. It's about having the right mental habits. Building good habits for life become automatic, healthy responses, not reactions. We want to stop reacting. The old man reacts like a wounded animal. Somebody pokes it, somebody pokes a bear, and you're charging. No. We want healthy responses. What we call into, it's called the space in neuroscience. It's a place that God has given us in our soul. When somebody, let's say somebody comes up to you and cusses you out and treats you horribly or tries to even hurt you and harm you. You take a second and you crawl into the space so that you can choose response or reaction. You're in control. And we can't say, you made me do that. You know how many husbands have beat up their wives and say, you made this happen. You caused this to happen. Oh, yeah? I got your hand and threw it on my face? We got to learn to respond, not react. And then, so we want automatic healthy responses and will become great coping mechanisms for the wise at heart. Absolutely. When you learn to respond properly, you are literally building up coping mechanisms for yourself. Like, for instance, when life hits you hard, stop for a moment and then get into that space and say, Lord, what do I do here? Where do I go from here? Or pray. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, we can stop here.